Important dates in Christian history. 529 AD. Benedict of Nursia establishes his monastic order outside of Rome. His written code of conduct, called the Benedictine Rule, becomes the most influential guide for centuries of monasticism in the West. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What will it take for this to stop? This is Wretched Radio. Don't know anybody who isn't still reeling from the Charlie Kirk assassination. There was something deeply disturbing about that. The talking heads have all appeared on your channel of choice that tends to echo what you're hoping to hear. And wow, did we ever see that unglorious display? I actually watched a little bit of, this hurts, Fox News and CNN. And it was amazing to me. They were actually saying the exact same thing, only aimed at the other side. Everybody was on the same page. This has to stop. Okay, amen. What exactly has to stop? Not just the shootings, because in order for the shootings to stop, the vitriol that is hurled at the other side, that needs to stop. And I kid you not, I watched Fox News for maybe about 15 minutes. I think it was Jesse Waters. He rapid fire. I think almost everybody that he had on, maybe Mike Johnson didn't, but there were a litany of individuals that were saying, "Hey, the left, they're the ones who are the cause of this because they're fomenting violence because they're the way that they talk about those of us on the right, the whole N vowel Z I S accusation because." I can't say that word without the censors getting all agitated, as if it didn't happen, as if that historical event that took place, 80 years ago was just a dream. That was an atrocity. And indeed, people on the left are accusing those on the right of being just like them. Oh, okay. That's really bad. And by the way, for the most part, because there's always going to be some goofballs on either side, it's utterly ridiculous. I'm driving to a point here because when I watched Fox, they're accusing the Democrats of being the one whose language has created a society where political violence almost becomes a necessity. CNN saying the exact same thing. The rhetoric of the people on the right, especially Donald Trump, that's the reason for this. It was the blame game. It was staggering. Now, clearly, I agreed more with the Fox folks. Why? Because it appears these sorts of brutal, violent acts are a one-way street. You just don't see it going in the other direction. So it's like, hey, You can't say we're the cause of it because we're not doing it. We're not the ones that are causing people that disagree with us to shoot people while they're delivering a speech on a university campus. And they all made the same accusation and they all made the same plea. It has to stop. But here's what I noticed. Nobody offered a how. How does this stop? Well, I suppose what they were driving for is that we would stop with the language and that'll make it go away. I don't think it will. Because the human heart doesn't need an external bellows to stoke the flames of hatred. It's the human heart that is the problem. And I didn't see anybody bringing on a Christian theologian to discuss these issues, to look for a spiritual solution to these atrocities that we're seeing. None of the politicians, while they wanted to stop, could come up with an actual solution for it. These issues today that divide, they're far more profound. The politicians I saw on both sides, hey, we got to go back to the old days, okay? We got to go back to the old days where we could have a disagreement. You know, Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan, they could disagree on stuff, but they'd still have a laugh and make an Irish joke and have a good time together. We got to go back to that. Now, I wouldn't argue that we need to go back to that, but the question isn't just how do we get back there? That is a question. But what was happening there that bore the fruit of civility? Because I think this happens to us a lot. We see where things are today. We long for them to be the way that they were yesterday. And then we want to try to, you know, drag our society back. Hey, let's start acting like that. Just start behaving that way because we like that way better. And I think, while that's reasonable to make those observations and considerations and even those pleas, I think we need to ask the question, why did people behave differently yesterday than they do today? And I think there's a fair amount of different explanations for it. Number one is there were more Christians. Second, Christian influence was greater then. Well, now that's really interesting. I think a third observation that we can make is the issues back then were not nearly as evil as they are today. You go back and you look at the debates that were taking place between political parties up probably until the 80s. We're on issues of war and peace, trade, tariffs. Well, we used to talk about that more. Shovel-ready jobs, infrastructure, taxes, waterways. Those were the issues, and we could have a difference of opinion because, well, I don't want to say they didn't matter, but they weren't life or death. Like the stuff that we're dealing with today, these issues are deep and profound. And if we don't recognize, I think those three observations about what made yesterday appear to be better than today, we're going to try to go back there the wrong way. There's two ways to get people to stop it. They either have an internal system or they have an external enforcer. They either internally want to do good or externally, somebody needs to make them at least not behave poorly. That's it. Those are the two options. So if you and I wanted to stop, we've got a suggestion to the politicians, the sociologists, all of the talking heads that are now all calling for civility. You can enforce it. That's one of your options. Or we can offer a word that gives people a heart transplant and an internal clock that is just wired differently, an internal system that causes them to not want to do evil and to instead do good. In other words, as Christians, we have to return to the same. Have conversations all you want about social issues. That's fine. I don't know how much it accomplishes, frankly. At best, they're temporary fixes. And now, they will be external enforcements. The Christian message is, you've got people behaving poorly. They need a heart transplant. Here's how God does it. And we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. God removes the heart of stone, gives them a heart of flesh. They desire to obey his commandments. Furthermore, they seek to not just love their families, but to love their neighborhoods, to love their nation, to love the world, and even the evil people that inhabit the planet. That's what the gospel does. And so if you and I witness the atrocity of the Charlie Kirk shooting, the Charlie Kirk murder, this should reignite us to be about the business of our Father. He's not building an earthly kingdom. They come, they go. Didn't Daniel's dream tell us that? They don't last. What does? the kingdom that Jesus Christ is building. Now, we don't go proclaim the gospel to people so that they behave better. That's a fruit of the gospel. We go to proclaim the gospel because we've been commanded to go and make disciples. We've been commanded to make the most of every opportunity. Why wouldn't we want to speak of that which we have tasted that is so delightful? We are called to love our neighbors. And I believe the superlative way to love another person is to share with them the greatest love. And the greatest love is God's expression of love through the redemptive work of his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. That's the greatest love. So if we want to love people to the max, we will share the gospel with them. Let's not be sidetracked. Let's not be distracted from the mission the Lord has us on. Let's talk policies. Okay, fine. But let's do less talking about politics and more talking about the gospel, because that and that alone is the solution. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Not battles with other people, battles in your life. Dr. John Crotch breaks down theology you can actually use with Integrated. And Pastor Brad Bigney, he's helping your marriage thrive instead of just survive. Dr. Adam Tyson speaks truth into the hearts of young men, all on your phone and all for free. So while the world's feeding you garbage, you can be feeding your soul with solid biblical truth. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. It's free, it's powerful, and it's exactly what you need in this upside down world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Crotz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the physician. Jesus healed many physical ailments during his ministry on earth. When he comes again, he will put an end to death and disease and give us spiritual bodies to last for eternity.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Perhaps now we can have a conversation about the death penalty. This is Wretched Radio. Don't know why the news of Charlie Kirk has lingered with me. When a celebrity, I didn't know Charlie. And typically when a celebrity dies, you have varying degrees of, oh, that's kind of a bummer. For some reason, this was kind of a mule kick to the guts. I saw the pictures of him with his wife and kids. That perhaps for me was the most disturbing aspect of the Charlie Kirk assassination. His fresh-faced wife, his fresh-faced kids, together as a little family unit, shattered. And for some reason, I just continue to go, oh, this was bad. And while I do recognize that there have been assassinations on American soil historically, I understand that there were gun duels. I understand the political vitriol that was hurled between conservatives and liberals, federalists and statists. Going back to the founding, while I get that, I think the Charlie Kirk tragedy reveals more. I think that you and I are seeing Romans 1. When you've got individuals that are overlooking natural law, because I don't think that you need the Bible to tell you you shouldn't kill another human being. I think most of us get, hey, it's okay to kill and eat an animal. That we get that, even without the biblical permission that we were given after the flood. I think as human beings, we have a sense that we are the superior creation and that they're here to serve and be eaten. They're there for us to enjoy so that we can flourish. I think we get that without Christianity or the Bible informing us. I think we understand that taking a life of a human being is a wicked act. I think, obviously, because the conscience informs them, as dull as it might be for many people. But I think that gender and sexuality is not the only manifestation of the depraved mind that Romans 1 describes. That it is the darkening, the perpetual, the swirling down deeper and deeper into darkness and to foolishness and to wickedness because of the rejection of God. You see that it's getting bad when natural law is rejected. In genders, it's like, clearly that goes together with that. Duh, it has an effect. That's just natural law. I mean, we don't even have to get into the science of it, which I think we can, but that's just natural law. We denied that. And I think we've denied natural law in the there are people who were, now, I don't know what the percentage is, but we also saw this with that medical CEO, the pharmaceutical CEO who was murdered in cold blood in New York City. If I recall correctly, over 40% of Gen Zers thought that was justifiable. What? Killing somebody, executing somebody in cold blood? This was disturbing. Jimmy, did this one strike you different than the death of most celebrities? You know, is it maybe because just his youth? Because, you know, you see somebody, okay, they were 80. I haven't seen them since they were on that sitcom in the 80s. Yeah, they got older and died, but they lived a long life. I think it's more than that.
I think it's more than that, too. I think a lot of it for me has to do with maybe how brazen it was. Mm. I mean, just right there on a college campus, broad daylight.
In front of thousands of kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was no kindness there, was there?
No, not at all.
That was a demonstration of my wicked act is justified. It is so righteous. He thought, I don't know who the dude is, but I can guarantee you he thought that he was doing something good for the country, for a family member, for himself, and that his wickedness was justifiable.
And that's what happens when politics become the ultimate thing. when you worship politics, then your enemies need to be eliminated.
Were you the one who texted? I think it was. I thought it was.
Maybe I texted you yesterday. Yes, I did.
No, but you said something along the lines of, when politics becomes your idol, eventually you will need bloodshed.
You will. Yeah.
Because you'll do anything to protect your idol.
That's right.
And so I and Charlie, while a professing believer, and I'm really glad for that. In fact, somebody sent me a clip of him articulating the gospel. He understood the gospel. In fact, he rejected the life enhancement gospel. He understood it was about a violation of God's law. We should receive his temporal and eternal punishment. Jesus died for sinners. In other words, penal substitution. He got it. So we're grateful for that. But he was known as a politician or a political force more than I think his evangelism. And so this was a political assassination that reveals somebody loved their politics so much they were willing to shed blood of somebody who endangered their idol. Oof, oof, this is wickedness. Now, if you and I were disturbed by it, God wasn't surprised by it, but how much must God hate murder? We know the answer to that question. He hates it so much. He, after the flood, this is pre-Mosaic covenant, said the death penalty. Death is what is required for the death of a human being. The Mosaic covenant reiterates that. The New Testament, I believe in Romans 13, repeats it again. The government has the ability to use the sword. It's an execution sword. In Romans 13, it doesn't talk about the sword so that they can shave a criminal. It's so that they can lop off his head or thrust it through and kill him. Now, we perhaps don't want to be that barbaric, but do we not esteem the life of an image bearer enough to be as angry about murder as God is? And that this the response to what was done to Charlie Kirk, we don't need to deliberate this. If we got the guy, we'll get the guy. They already found, I think, the gun. There was a palm print, I think, left shoes behind. They'll get the guy. I'm confident of that. But I don't think we need to deliberate. If we know beyond the shadow of a doubt, yep, that's the dude that did it, we don't need to linger. We don't need to tarry. We don't need to have 20 years of court cases. It should be swift. It should be immediate. And I'd even be willing to have a conversation about it being public. You say, well, that sounds like Islam. Okay. I get it. If you're Tim Kaine, you want to try to stretch it and make that comparison. But I would reject why Islam does what they do. I have no interest in that, frankly. But I can explain why God insists a life for a life. It is because human life is the highest life form on the planet, because it is an image of God in the flesh. Does it serve as a deterrent? Yes, it does. But is that the primary reason that I would suggest we have a conversation about executions being swift, certain, and public? No. It's because we need to teach everybody life is precious. Now, if executions were done like, okay, let's get this guy, you punch him, beat him up first, you know, sort of the way that Jesus was treated, you talk about. That helps us to understand what our Savior endured, doesn't it? It was mob violence against Jesus Christ. I mean, can you imagine that there's somebody that we think is guilty, that some religious people in power don't like? So somehow they were able to get the government to get 600 soldiers to just whoop on the guy publicly. You'd be like, whoa, where's the justice? That's what our Savior endured. So we're not going to be an unjust people. No, we're going to teach justice. Why? Because human life is precious. And so we're not going to be violent. We're not going to torture people. But if we show people and explain to people, the reason we are doing this is not to be vindictive. It's not to be mean. It's not to sink to their level of barbarism. It is to elevate the preciousness of human life. Don't take another life. Because if you do, that life is so precious, your life will be demanded of you. It's funny. I've heard a number of commentators talking about Charlie and an encouragement. Keep talking about these issues and be louder about it. And I think that's right. I remember suggesting that even in our conversation years ago, I remember saying, you know, when we're in a restaurant, we shouldn't have to talk about things like this. We need to be the ones speaking loudly. And I think this would be perhaps a very good time to talk about the preciousness of human life, because we just lost a precious image bearer. Tragic. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.